This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
I'm Dana Perino.
I'm Jason Chaffetz.
I'm Rachel Campos Duffy, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Tuesday, August 30th, 2022. I'm Eben Brown. The U.S. has not only supplied long-range smart missiles and cash to Ukraine, but also bullets and guns, so much so we may be running low. How badly?
Ukraine has needed a lot of artillery to stay in that fight. And we, along with our allies, have been trying to oblige. Obviously, when you're providing that much, it can take a toll on our own stockpiles.
This is the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Stay on top of the latest news and information from Fox News. Listen and download the Fox News Hourly Update on your time. The trending stories you need anytime you want it. Listen and download now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
You've heard that the U.S. and European partners have outfitted the Ukrainian military with a lot of things. Missiles that can find the source of radar and blow it up. Drones that can spy as well as kill. And not to mention billions in aid, but now a report in the Wall Street Journal suggests the U.S. owned defense stores, our supply of bullets, is low. We've given so much away.
In addition to, the HIMARS and things like that, we've, sent a lot of just your standard M777s, M777 artillery.
John Hardy is a senior research fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies and a military policy expert. He says that while the Journal's report is troubling, it is fixable.
155-millimeter artillery rounds. I think we've sent around 800,000 or so since the invasion began, according to military figures. And that's a lot of artillery. Ukraine and Russia are fighting an artillery war. And Ukraine has faced a significant disadvantage in that fight just because of the mass of firepower that Russia is able to bring to bear. They're both sort of firepower, artillery-heavy militaries, and basically the way the Russians have been fighting is to just, pound this particular area with artillery until Ukrainian forces eventually just kind of move back a few hundred meters, and then they do it all over again. So Ukraine has needed a lot of artillery to stay in that fight, and we, along with our allies, have been trying to oblige. Obviously, when you're providing that much, it can take a toll on our own stockpiles, and you may have seen reports in the Wall Street Journal and elsewhere, to that effect. What exactly the shortage or the potential shortage on our end, looks like, how severe it is, it's hard to really say based on the information out there. But what I would say is it sounds like bureaucratic sort of obstacles are the biggest impediment to replacing whatever we need to replace, rather than I don't think it's a situation where we've just set Ukraine too much and we need to cut off the taps. I think we'll be okay if we do the things we need to do.
When you talk about doing the things we need to do and bureaucratic issues, what exactly does that mean? What does that look like?
Right. So, just based off, again, the open source reporting, it sounds like the divisions within the Pentagon that are responsible respectively for, helping Ukraine and then procuring stuff for the U.S. military aren't communicating that well. Again, it's just based on, WSJ reporting. We're sending stuff, and then the other side of the organization isn't necessarily acting as swiftly as maybe we could to replace it. And then, apparently the contracts haven't gone out yet to replace this stuff. Again, reportedly because of just bureaucratic sort of not foot dragging, but just, you know, these things take some time in big bureaucracies like the Pentagon. So I think if we're moving a little bit more with a little bit more agility, I think we'll be okay.
I think most Americans who are not necessarily that in tuned with the inner workings of our national defense might just think that we have an endless supply of weapons and ammunition. And I think someone picking up the paper and reading this might be shocked to think that we could run out of something or could run low of something. And we're, for whatever the reason, it's going to take some time to get replenished. You know, this comes, I guess, compare or contrast it to the most recent economic issues where we've had supply chain matters, you know, affect people's regular consumer goods. This is a much different, you know, a much different animal considering it's ammunition for national defense. But the average person, what should they take away from this? Thinking that, well, hey, our soldiers don't have enough bullets, but we've sent a bunch to Europe to fight a war we're not really involved in.
Yeah, you know, I think not only in the U.S., but, you know, the U.K. and other allies, we're all sort of waking up to the realization that, you know, in war, nothing is limitless. And you can find yourself, if you're in a protracted conflict, you know, quickly running low on these things. So, you know, I know the Brits are sort of grappling with that same realization. You know, it is a reminder of, you know, where you need your stocks to be to be on the safe side. But I guess I would just say that, you know, the U.S. military rightly is very conservative in this estimate and wants to be, you know, 100% safe for any conceivable scenario. So I wouldn't say, just again, based on open source reporting, it doesn't sound like the warning signs are like blinking red, but it does sound like we need to move quickly to, you know, replace our stocks.
We have been speaking with John Hardy, a senior research analyst at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. On the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine. We'll have more with John straight ahead. Are we handling this the best way we could from a, what's the way to describe it, organizationally? I mean, would it make better sense to just sort of set up the Ukrainians with the manufacturers instead of coming through us so they could sort of either, you know, source things themselves and we could sort of not be the middleman, or is that not a good way to go from your perspective, someone who does this kind of for a living, you know?
Yeah, well, so we are actually trying to do that. So basically the way we've been helping Ukraine is under two different authorities. So one is a presidential drawdown, which means just taking stuff out of U.S. military stocks, like currently existing material. And then the other is basically under a law that allows us to contract with industry to send stuff to Ukraine. So we've done some of both, and we kind of structure it based on, you know, do the Ukrainians need this right now, or is this something that could wait? In some cases, you know, we have no choice but to go to industry. So we do both. The Ukrainians, in terms of manufacturing in their own country, you know, that's problematic for obvious reasons. You know, the Russians have destroyed a lot of their defense industry, and they're going to have a tough time to rebuild that. But yes, going forward, absolutely. You know, any assistance that the U.S. and allies can provide and, you know, getting Ukraine's defense industry back up on its feet, you know, I think would be beneficial for all of us in the long term.
But even if it's, say, an American or European manufacturer, but just having that business deal directly with Ukraine as opposed to having it sourced through the U.S. government, I mean, is that a possibility, or is that something that we shouldn't do?
You know, that's a good question. I think the Pentagon would like to be involved, just because, you know, these manufacturers have limited capacity. You know, it's always going to be finite, whatever the number, the annual production capacity is. So I think, you know, we'd want to have be involved in that conversation. You know, I've never done Pentagon procurement, so that's probably a better question for someone else, but that'd be my guess.
And I guess lastly, I'd ask you, you know, there's a whole other side to war that most people, again, probably don't think of, and that's the economics of it. All of this costs money. Fighting a war, whether you're on offense or defense, is very, very expensive because you have a lot of stuff that you go through, namely ammunition. It costs money to procure. It costs money to manufacture. and we're looking at a war that is now 6 months old, that is really not accomplished anything for either side. How much more money gets spent on something like this before people start, you know, whether it's Russia or Ukraine or everyone else, when people begin to say, all right, enough, you know, you're not solving anything here.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I definitely understand the sentiment. I would say first, you know, for Ukraine, their fighting definitely has done something. It's preserved their independence, their existence as an independent, sovereign, democratic state with the capital in Kyiv. And you know, that's no small feat. Second, I would just say that from the U.S. and allied perspective, you know, a war directly with Russia would far exceed the costs we spend on, you know, supporting Ukraine. So defeating Putin and making sure he knows that aggression in Europe will not pay, I think, is a good investment from a, you know, financial and security standpoint on our side.
John Hardy, you're a senior research analyst at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. Thank you so much for being with us on the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.